Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I'm Pastor Fred here at Russell Road Church. Glad you tuned in. We have been talking about understanding the Trinity. So that's a big, tall order, isn't it? So really, the only way you can understand the Trinity is to have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, in your life. And Jesus is one of the third person of the Trinity. Or the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. So, have you seen the new sign out there on 29? 29, yeah. New sign on 29. It says, Jesus is not God. Boy, oh boy. That is really an Antichrist spirit. It's Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, showing up here in Sydney trying to bring confusion and trying to bring something else, a negative word. So we need to understand this Trinity idea, because God is three in one. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. If you leave out here on 29, the sign is, you'll have to look back to see it. So if you're going home and use the freeway, you can look back and see the sign. So try to look back and see it. It just really lets you know that, you know, there is so much going on. And we really got to pay attention. Amen? We really have to be on our toes. How many of you have seen the news and you've seen how Israel is being bombed by Iran? Anybody seen that? They got pictures, right? So here's what's going on, okay? The bombs that Iran are launching towards Israel aren't having any effect, because there's a cyber space security intercepting those drones with those bombs. Did you hear what I just said? And so the bombs can't hit Israel because they're being intercepted. Okay? We're the new Israel. Now listen. Some of you have been going through things this week. Difficult. Hardships. Struggles. Here's what we need to do. We need to praise God. Amen. When you're in those struggles. Remember, I taught on your praise intercepts the lie and the negative thoughts that try to come in your mind to take you down a wrong road. When you praise God, it intercepts those thoughts. You see that? That's just like when someone intercepts a football in a football game and they're in the final 2 minutes and they end up they stop them from winning because they intercepted the football. You see that? You stop the enemy from winning in your life and in your mind when you will give God praise in difficult times. Did you hear me? Remember when I was getting my lip cut off? Oh, you got your lip cut off? Got my bottom lip, the whole thing, cut off. Didn't have a clue that was going to happen. Found out the day I went in, my wife sitting right here was with me. You know what we did? We started praising God. Right. I'm praising God. I came up with the line. There's a song that says, I will pray forever. I will praise you. Your lips shall be, your praise shall ever be on my lips. I said, Lord, I can't sing, your praise shall ever be on my lips. I have to change it. Your praise shall ever be on my lip. I came up with that in the car with one lip after it being cut off. Are you listening to me? So I'm not telling you to do something that I don't practice. I'm trying to help you see. Some of you are in your most difficult times. Here, that giving God praise is a weapon. Amen. Of spiritual warfare. When you give in to negativity and problems in your life, you're adding to the problem because you're not giving God praise and you're not going to God for the solution. Come on now. This is a principle. This is a principle of the kingdom. Of the kingdom. Now look. David said this. He said in Psalms 34, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Amen. Continually in my mouth. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. Whose name? Jesus. Amen. Everybody say, Jesus is God.
Jesus is God.
Let's exalt his name together. Amen. Come on. Let's clap. Give the Lord. Yes. We praise your name. You know what that sign says out there? Jesus is not God. And it's being launched at Sydney. So we're going to give God some praise. And we're going to continue on our walk with God. Amen. Are you getting a hold of this? You know, I don't care what kind of battles you're in. When you start practicing praise, he says, rejoice. All time. Rejoice always. How many? How many times? Always. Now, when I looked up the Greek on that, it meant always. It even meant it in the Hebrew. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. You see, when you do that, you're positioning yourself for God to do a work in your life because you're trusting him. That's telling him you're trusting him. You see this? Come on, do you see this?
Amen.
This is significant.
Always.
Don't you like that? It intercepts the negative, stops it in its tracks. You can't be praising God and whining about something all at the same time. I had a friend of mine, very close friend, one of his sons, he has five kids, was in the hospital for 2 weeks. Serious thing going on. Serious. Serious. He called me up. Well, one thing, he sent me a sign to pray for him. And Donita and I immediately began to pray for him in our living room. But you know what we did? We also gave God some praise.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We praised God in the middle of all that. We got tears in our eyes giving God praise.
That's right.
See, it's not because in the trouble, that's what you do. You give God praise because he's the one that's going to help you in it. You see this? And so now, then I talked to him on the phone and he's still not out of the woods. His father and I are praising God. I could feel the presence of God on that phone. Are you listening to me?
Yep.
It was so powerful. Because you see, when you're going through something, that's when you praise God. That is a test of where you're at and who you're serving. You can end up serving the problem And then you're talking about the problem and the pain all the time. And there you are. The enemy's got you. You're not even being a true witness. Because a true witness gives God praise.
Amen.
In the middle of it. The church, God's building his church. True, faithful witnesses. You see that? When people bump into the church, they bump into something uncommon. This person's different. Now, you know you bump into Anita. You bumped into something different. Huh? You bump into Abby Huell's camp. You bumping into something different. Am I making sense? You bump into Amanda Taylor, you bumping into something different. My leg's bouncing up here. Listen to me. I'm telling you, this is the way God wants us to live. Because you see, difficult times, circumstances don't control your life. God's in control. You hear me? God's in control. And that's what God wants to show you. He wants to show you your salvation and deliver you. He says, because you've set your love on me, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. When you know his name, Jesus, Jesus is God. He says, I will deliver you and honor you with long life. I'm going to satisfy you and show you my salvation. He'll reveal it to you. Am I making sense? You still glad you came to church?
Yes.
I know it's Father's Day. Praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I had a good dad. But you know, I'm going to be honest with you. He wasn't a godly. He wasn't always. But he was a good man. Yeah. And so now God is my father, right? And boy, I tell you what, when God is your father, where you have a deficit of maybe you didn't have a father or you didn't have a mother, God will bring somebody into your life. David said, when my mother and father have forsaken me, the Lord will take care of me. You see that? The Lord will take care of me. Oh, goodness. And that's how it is. And see, that's why there's no temptation such as common to man. Everybody is going to go through things. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Everybody is going through things.
Amen.
That's right.
Count it all joy.
Melissa, you want to come up here? Count it all joy, she says.
Amen.
She's right. You count that as joy, and that's what God says. Count it all joy. The word count means value. You value that trouble you're going through because it's developing you into being a better character of Christ so God can trust you and show the world that he's credible and that he's alive and he's real. If you will trust in him, you'll have the same thing.
Amen.
You'll have the same joy. Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you can do that. You're not clapping for me, you're clapping for the Lord, amen?
Amen?
The Holy Spirit, that's the way it is.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why we got to get rid of this complaining and murmuring and fault finding, right? Boy, I tell you, you guys are looking good out there. Let's go to our vision. And I'm going to start preaching in a minute. I tell you. You know, fathers, when you get an understanding of who you are in Christ, the whole thing with the fathers change. It changes everything. It changes it. Because see, people can blame problems on their fathers all their life. I had people in my office still blaming their father. Their father's been dead for 20 years. You see, that's not God. See that? You can't do that.
My dad never did this with me.
You know what? Here it is. You know what you need to do if you have that in you? You need to get a hold of Randy Moore and sign up for the camping. Because we got a bunch of kids here with no fathers that need an example. And go camping and spend some time with the kids and look them in the eye and let them know that you are a true witness. And you are real, and God will help you just like he's helping me. Are you with me? I went to that camp, and I thought, I'm telling you what, I could feel God's presence at that campground over here at Tawawa Park. And I'm telling you what, it was amazing. It was amazing. And God is good. Now we need to keep moving. I just feel like I'm getting in a mood. I got to be careful. I want to preach here. Hold on. Hold still. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You cannot have peace without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. You cannot have peace if you're in strife and contention and arguing and fussing all the time. You are quenching the Holy Spirit in your own life. You know what it actually do? Some people are depressed because all they're walking around is talking about their negative, what's going on. And you're depressing yourself. You're pushing the Holy Spirit down. He's come that you may have life. He's your helper. He's to help you. You see that? He's our helper. We're going to see this. And when you tap into that Holy Spirit, you're going to be in touch with him more. Amen. Because you're going to see how real he is. Now watch this. Give me Ephesians 5, if you would, please. This is what the verse we used last week, and we're going to go to the book of Acts after we look at this for a moment. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. All right. So, remember, this is, but be filled with the Spirit is a command. It's a command from God. So now look, it's an imperative mood. It's a command. Now look, it means it's not an expression of reality. So it's not a reality to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See that? It's not a reality. You can't say, well, I got filled with the Spirit because I went to the altar and they laid hands on me and I spoke in tongues after they got my mouth moving and got me, you know? See, a lot of people, even online, a lot of people say if you're not filled, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Spirit. I'm going to tell you what, that is not, look at me, that is not sound theology. And we need sound doctrine, sound theology. You have to keep putting the Holy Spirit in if you're going to be filled. I know people who told me they were filled with the Spirit and beat their wives. Where's the Spirit at in that? Huh? I know people, they wouldn't do anything with their children. Where's the Spirit in that? Huh? If you're filled with the Spirit, it's going to show up to those who matter most to you. You're going to help your wife with the dishes. You're going to help her clean up at home. You're going to serve her. You're going to help your husband pick up his shoes. You're going to help your husband do this and do that. Are you listening to me? You begin to help each other.
That's right.
Because you're a witness in your own home. If it's not there, it's not anywhere. You're taking it out there and you're contaminating it out there. But if it's at home and it's real, it's going to be real out there. Y'all okay? This is what we're trying to help you see. This is significant because look what he says. Don't be drunk with wine. Remember, if you're drunk, you're under the influence. And what? The influence and effectiveness of that alcohol. It affects you and it infects you and influences you in a negative way. The word dispensation means to squander, means to come to ruin. In other words, the will of God is coming to ruin when you're under the influence of alcohol. Well, you know, you can have one. And, you know, that stuff doesn't do me like it does, you know, an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic, but I like to have a couple on the weekend. Take the edge off, you know. We see, there's no Holy Spirit in that. Because our Holy Spirit is a helper. And he brings you joy. Unspeakable. Donita and I get to laughing and carry on in restaurants sometimes. We've actually had waitresses say, "What's going on here? We aren't eating. We're drinking water or iced tea." We're having fun. We look drunk sometimes. But in Acts it says they looked as though they had been drinking. But they said they had been with Jesus. You see, when you've been with Jesus, you look a little loco sometimes. Because you're under the influence of something supernatural. You see that? Something supernatural. She's got my cheerleader over here. But be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not automatic. It's a command. It's an imperative. It's not a reality, but it's a possibility with your volition. So in other words, your volition means your will and your choices. That you can be filled with the Spirit. You have to do it daily. It's a daily thing. Because it leaks out. It leaks out of you. Remember we did the illustration last week? It leaks out of you. And if you don't put it back in, it's not going to show up when you need it. You know what shows up? When the alcohol wears off, what happens? You go right back to your flesh. You get sober. When you get sober and when the Holy Spirit is not being poured in, you go right back to your flesh, the way you always did things. I'm going to get me a blunt. I'm going to get me a drink. I'm going to get me a joint. I'm going to get me a Zigzag or a Bugle Boy or something. Roll me some weed or get me a drink or Jack Daniels or Who Daniels, whatever. You see that? It don't work. When you're not under the influence, your flesh shows up again. Right? And now there you are, miserable and discouraged, broke, busted, and disgusted in the Spirit. Making sense? But now when you're in the Holy Spirit and you've got a full, happy, joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you're in and it's in you and it's full, there's no room for anything else. Amen? All right. Now, we got to get to this, the book of Acts here. Yeah, let's go to Acts chapter 1, Tim. Now, I'm going to read some things that I wrote down in my study this week. The book of Acts is really a continuation of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? The book of Acts is really a continuation of the Gospel accounts. It is the beginning of the New Testament church. Acts is about living the Christian life, the book of Acts. Acts is about being the church, and it is the historical continuation of what Jesus started in the Gospels, okay? The Gospels are about the work of the Lord incarnate, the work of the Lord incarnate. That means the Lord was on earth. The Word became flesh, incarnate, right? Now, so the Gospels are about the work of the Lord incarnate. Acts is about the work of the Lord risen. Risen. You paying attention? The resurrection. The Gospels, Jesus gives his life. Jesus gives his life in the Gospels. In Acts, Jesus gives us his power to live this life. Did you catch what I just said? In Acts, Jesus gives us his power to live this life. In the Gospels, seeds of Christianity are planted. In Acts, those seeds burst into growth. That's us. We're bloomers.
Amen.
We're blooming. But I'm blooming. I'm blooming in the church. How about you? I want to grow. In the Gospels, listen, Christian life was lived by a perfect man. Jesus was perfect. In Acts, the Christian life is lived by imperfect people. That's us. That's us. Did you catch that? Acts teaches us how to live as the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we really need to learn. We really need to learn this. Luke is the writer in the book of Acts. He was a physician. He lived and walked with Paul. Now look, especially in the latter years of Paul's ministry, Luke was a physician. Paul needed a physician because he was being stoned and persecuted and beaten and whooped and broken by people. He needed somebody to help him be healed so he can continue the ministry. And he even said in 2 Timothy, writing to Timothy, he wrote, Luke alone is with me. 2 Timothy 4:11. Luke alone is with me. In the first part of Acts, Luke writes of Peter's activities. In the latter part, it's Paul's activities. Now look, Luke wrote both his gospel and Acts to a person named Theophilus. Here's the thing. They have no proof. They don't have any documented evidence. They have document evidence of everything else. They have none on Theophilus. But he wrote it to Theophilus. You know what Theophilus means? You ready? Theophilus means lover of God. The book of Acts is written to you and to me. Look at your neighbor and say, what's up, Theophilus? What's up, Theophilus? Oh, I love it. That's powerful. I think there's reason for that. I know there's reason for that. If you're a lover of God, you want to do what this book of Acts is talking about.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.